This word is, it's lupio. It's the same word they use for a mother who's giving birth. Now, not having that capability or that option in my life, I assume it hurts. And that it's pretty strenuous on you. I've often heard that it's the closest a woman can come to dying without actually dying because of the stress put on your body. That's what Peter's talking about. And so we have been grieved. It doesn't mean that we come into church and I've done it. You've all done it. We've painted a face. How are you doing? Oh, I'm just outstanding. And in your mind, you're thinking, God, this isn't outstanding. This stinks, right? Well, brother, I believe in being positive. Well, positivity doesn't actually get you there. It's faith in Jesus Christ. I'll explain some things here again in a second. That the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, you love. Though now you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressibly and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. We hold on. It doesn't mean that it doesn't show on our face. It does. There's times that you say, oh, somebody's going through something. Other times, yeah, they're doing pretty good. But you never know for sure what somebody's going through. And one person's level of grief might be different than somebody else's. I remember in boot camp, there were guys that got in there, their mamas had never made them do anything. They didn't have, mama did everything for them. Bad for them. Drill instructor said, do this. I'm like, that's easy. You should have been my mother. Some of these guys, why don't you have a problem with this? Man, I used to do this. This was nothing. Then there are other things that's like, okay, this is out of my comfort zone. So we each had our own level. James 1:2, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Whoops. I should have added verse 9 on there. I didn't. But it goes on to say, knowing that these trials also make us patient, which is perseverance, which is the ability to hold on, to hold fast. Now, he said, count it joy, because you need to understand, he's not saying paint a smiley face on all the time. You know, I understand there was a time in life some women were told, never let them see you going through anything. It's not ladylike. I ain't saying you get out there and you walk up and down the street boo-hoo-hooing. But I am saying we all have those days. We all. That's why God gave Adam a helpmate. Nobody's designed to be alone. That's just it. You're not designed to be alone. You can't be alone. Because you need somebody else to make you complete. Whether it's just a friend, you still need those connections. When people isolate themselves, what happens is they start going into dark places. They start listening to the wrong influences, right? I've heard many times talking about veterans who commit suicide. They pull back. They quit talking. They isolate themselves and they no longer make contact with anybody. And then next thing you know, they're dead. But to count it all joy means to look at the finish line. There's something better coming. As I was contemplating, you know, all this morning, going through my notes, the Holy Spirit equated it to something for me. I said, I get that. And I know many of you in here well. But I can only understand it from a father's point of view, okay? Because not that the mother's is really going to be any different. But again, I'm not a mother. I'm a father. So I've had three boys, right? All three boys have played sports. Joshua ran cross country and some track. And I remember watching him just sweating. We'd go on vacation. That boy was running up and down the sides of mountains in Georgia. And it's just like, okay, first off, it was starting to get a little bit miserable. He still did it. And then to go watch him run in a race, right? You're there cheering, woo! That was probably one of the last times I ran. His senior year, I was done running. And but anyhow, no matter where he was at in the pack, we'd root for him. We were hollering, him, Jason. We had a few others in here at that time. We were rooting for him, cheering him on. They couldn't see us. They couldn't hear us. They were focused on the finish line. And then Jesse, contact sport, football. I loved playing football. It's just like there was just something about football that just, it made you want to do things stupid. I don't know what it is. But when he was playing linebacker, and he'd go in there, he's got to get the quarterback. He's going to sack the quarterback. He'd make it his goal. I don't know what, it was like he became possessed with, I want to sack him. You know, I want him. And he just keep, and but he would keep hammering and hammering until he finally got to him. And up in the stands, there's Dad. Woo, that's my son. That's my boy. And he'd get up, and his teammates come over high-fiving him, patting him on the back, slapping him up the side of the head. The team would be hooting and hollering. The crowd was hollering. And Justin, playing basketball, they didn't like seeing him play where he was at because he could do the 3 points. He practiced them. He was good at it. He was tall. And if they gave him a chance, he was going to shoot it and put it in most times. And up in the stands, there's his father. That's my boy! Or he would block a shot. That's my boy! See, we forget that God's a father. It was a concept lost on the Jews. When he said, your father, they said, we have no father but Abraham. They couldn't recognize God as a father. They could only recognize him as this, do not touch, do not talk about. We can't even say your name. They were superstitious about him. They couldn't identify to God the Father as the Father. Who, when Joshua went across the River Jordan, God was up there. That's my boy! He's shouting it to the entire spiritual world. Every demon, every principality was hearing it. When Jesus was on the cross, when he's walking down that road carrying that cross on his way to be finally killed, God was, that's my boy. See, we forget this. We forget this concept. Because we think of ourselves as failures, don't we? I failed you, Lord. I failed you. The Bible didn't say that you were perfect. It said that perfect that the Bible talks about is a maturity and a not lacking. It's a character building maturity. It's a character building perfect. When I was in Okinawa there, we had a kind of an Olympic thing for everybody on our entire base. And we did all kinds of things. And, you know, as if athletics sometimes and races are not hard enough, Marines have to make them harder. So we do stupid things. Personally, I loved obstacle courses, but we had relay. A 440, 4x16, each one runs a lap, Jason? 4x4. That's a 4x4, okay. So we did a 4x4. Yeah, put me in it. I'm good. I can run that with no problem. I was like, I'm usually the anchor, though, because I was a sprinter. I was pretty quick. Man, somebody didn't think I was what they needed. So they put me in third leg. We were seventh out of eight when I got the baton. And let me tell you, the baton was 4 feet long. It was the top half of our guide on, and we had to carry it at port arms. Any runners in here? What do you need to run a sprint? This. I grabbed hold of that, and everything in me kicked in. The competitive side of me kicked in. And I did what I always did. I saw the guy at first and said, I got to catch him. And I ran, and I'm running. My brothers are back here. They're hollering. They're rooting. I can hear them when I take off, but then eventually you can't hear anybody because it's all, and I'm passing people. And I kind of glanced over, and I could see my brothers jumping for me. They're hooting and hollering. And as I ran past the stands, my commanding officer is up there. I couldn't hear him. But I knew he was rooting for me, just like your heavenly Father roots for you. Amen. And then going back, coming back around, I'm coming up. I just passed the first place guy. I took the lead. I'm not too far ahead of him, though. Do you know what happens when you can't pump your arms and breathe? It's like a 300-pound gorilla jumps on your chest and knocks all the air out of you. Right in the middle of the bend, I went, I was like, no, I can't do this. But I could start to hear my brothers. They were rooting for me. Come on, Woody, come on. You got it. And I think they could see by the terror in my eyes what just happened. Because two of them had already done this. My legs started to get weak. Listen, it wasn't that I was out of shape. We ran 10 miles nearly 3 times a week. And I ran, again, throughout the week on my own. I was in some of the best shape I've ever seen. But now my legs are doing this. But if I'd let go of that guide on, I wanted to just turn it straight up and down and run like that. That's how I had to carry the 8 foot, the whole thing, to run in PT. Otherwise, we had to carry it like this. And I realized halfway through, I'm going to die. I'm going to fall out of the race. I'm supposed to be leading because I just got promoted. What's that going to look like? So I carried it from that point on. I always carried the guide on in one hand so I could breathe. But if I had to let go in that race, does anybody know what would have happened? I would be disqualified because I let go of the guide on. Because see, the point of it wasn't to see what records we could break or set. The point of it was to see the perseverance. And I kept coming. And as I kept coming, I saw my friends, they're hollering, they're, woo, come on. He's gated on you. I'm like, I'm trying. Thank God it was a 4 foot guide on. Because I was able to do this 6 feet away. And I handed it off, and he took off. But he had enough of a lead, he was able to hold on, and we did win. But I, looking back, I see, God, it was about the perseverance, the holding on. Even though he was just a lieutenant, but he had been enlisted first, so he had a lot more respect. He never came personally and said, "Hey, I thank you guys. You did me proud. You honored me." See, just like my boys, when they kept pushing, they kept doing. It's not the fact that maybe they didn't come in first in the race. Cross country is kind of one of those weird things. You got a first place, but it's about a team. And there's individual things for you. But as a whole, it's about the whole team. And so the coach, when the team does good, the coach looks good. But when your individual son or daughter is the one running, you look good. See, we want to say, "Oh, Lord, I give you all glory, honor, and praise." What's your life look like? Are you quitting every time you get a little bit of trouble? That doesn't bring God glory. It's what the Bible's talking about. Various trials. There's all kinds of things we've all got going on, isn't there? Right now, I can probably go through here and nobody's going to have the exact same thing going on in your life, but yet you want to quit. Or you want to throw punches. Usually it's one or the other. Or maybe you're just tired. It's not about you. See, it's our running our race. Paul even put it according to the race. We run to win a prize that we can't see. I'm running, and I hope you are too, to bring glory to my Father. The one who's up in heaven who just... Come on, there we go. I went too far. Whom having not seen you love, though you do not see him yet, believing you rejoice. I couldn't hear my commanding officer rooting for me. But I know he was, because if his team won, he looked good. We were his Marines. We looked good, he looked good. Trust me, we had enough times where we were called into formation and said, "Well, gentlemen, there's been some trouble." So when he looked bad, or when we looked bad, he looked bad. Why? Because even though he was our commanding officer, there was a colonel above him. And above that colonel, there's a general. And the general gets these, we call them the blotter lists. "Oh, well, I see Private Schmuckatelli got a DUI. What's been done to Private Schmuckatelli? I'll handle it." But he just got, and it wasn't that polite. See, but God's our gracious Heavenly Father. We can't hear him and see him all the time running, because let's be honest, when things are going on in your life, when I hit that invisible wall that day, I couldn't hear anybody really. All I could hear was the sound of my own heart pounding. My legs screaming, my chest, my lungs were burning. When Jesse would break through the line and he'd finally get to that quarterback, he couldn't hear Daddy hollering. Because inside his head, his heart is pounding. He still got the sound of his helmet and everything and the pads and all that stuff going through, and he's got everybody around him hollering. But he always knew that we were there. It's the same way with God. He's rooting us on through these various trials. He's not up there, "Now look at that, you failed." If there's anybody batting 1,000 in here, you're in the wrong club. Babe Ruth wasn't even there. And he's a baseball hero. But I believe they said he failed more than he ever succeeded. Because we've allowed the world to tell us we have to be this all the time. Now, sometimes you're not going to be happy. Sometimes, to count it all joy. I'm going to tell you right now, I just said we would run usually about, on an average, 10 miles per PT time. What I didn't tell you is, we didn't like it. It's 5 in the morning. I'm not a morning person. I didn't like being up that early running. I wasn't happy about it. But when I was in the midst of that battle of my body shutting down, I could count it all joy looking back that I had done what needed to be done. Your prayer time, it's not always what you want it to be. Your reading time. And if you're not praying and you're not reading, how about starting? If you need to get hold of a Bible plan, and we got a couple people in here following to read the Bible through in the year and all this, if that's what you need, then you do it. If you need somebody to slap you, Johnny has volunteered. We need to read the Word. What do you think it is in us that holds us up? God's not going to be there waiting and say, why did that guard stop you? I wasn't strong enough. Now, if anybody knows Jesse, there was just something about that boy. We never did figure it out. It was just like, he's just strong. I watched him hit a boy one time coming around. He was running the ball. It was at Highland. It was Bobby Wheeler's boy. I still remember him. He hit that kid, picked him up 2 feet in the air, and threw him 6. And the woman sitting over next to us, she said, I'm glad that's not my boy. I said, but that one's mine! Like I said, I did say, I don't know where the strength came from, because it's not from me. But that's your Heavenly Father, folks. But that wasn't the first time he had got knocked down and knocked down and knocked down. Joshua didn't win every race. He didn't break records. I bribed him. He broke personal records. Justin didn't hit every shot, but he made a lot of them. What are you failing at? Quit focusing on the failure and look at what you've done. Are you still standing? That's what perseverance is, isn't it? They try to hold you. You know, you've seen the tattoos on sailors' hands. If anybody ain't a sailor and they got those, you need to understand what that's supposed to mean. Hold fast. That was a rigger. He was a rigger on a ship with sails, and it was his job to hold onto those ropes up above in the mast and get those sails up and down. And they had to do it in storms. And when they're in a storm and you're trying to hold on, you hold tight. Death grip. You don't let go. Why? Because it's death. Don't let other people's opinion about your walk with Christ matter. Yeah, you just keep failing. You keep failing. How about you go to your coach first? There's a novel idea. Let your coach. I've told Joe this for many, many, many times, and we've talked about it. Joe's like, I still don't know what I said. But at that particular game, we were getting, in all honesty, there was some cheating refs. But they went in at halftime. We were not doing so good. Joe went in there. I'm going to say he lit them up. They came out, and they changed something. Jesse wasn't, because see, Jesse had always played a certain position because he was too big. He weighed too much. He's no longer in that division. And I believe that was the very first time Joe put him in as a running back. First play out. Bam! 10 yards. Woohoo! I think we had a little bit of interference with some refs there too, but next play, bam, 10 yards. Bam, another 10. You want to know what happened on the next one? Bam, touchdown. I asked Jesse later, I said, boy, what got into you? He said, coach made me mad. Joe's like, I wish I knew what I could tell him so I could tell everybody. But the coach is the one who can speak to him. I can tell him that stuff as his father, but it needed somebody else to tell him. If you're not listening to your Heavenly Father, you keep getting mad at me every week. Get mad at me, but go do your job. Hold fast. Hold the line. In the end, it's not about who's got the biggest church. It's not about who's got the biggest checking account. It's about who's still standing. Well, brother, you know, I God's blessing me. I got three boats and two trucks, and I got all this stuff. Let me ask you a question. If a fire hits it, what's going to happen to it? Because that's what's going to happen. Everything in our life that cannot be burned up is only all we need to worry about. That's why Jesus said, lay up treasures in heaven. Your ability to continue to stand in spite of what's coming against you. Devil says you got cancer. What does the Bible say? What does your coach say? Better yet, what does your drill instructor say? What does God say about it in his Bible, in his word? He said, you're above. You're more than a conqueror. I can only imagine what Joe did, what Joe said. Probably said, this is enough, guys. And I think it was the very next year you guys had a really, really good season. But we're allowing other people. But you ain't ever going to make it. If that's somebody telling you that, I heard Mark Driscoll talking about cutting out evil people in your life. They ain't on your side. You're either for me or you're against me. And ain't saying that ain't the way to do it. But sometimes it needs a different person to say, poof, put their foot where the sun don't shine and make them move. To break out of my little shell that I'd built up in my world, I needed four other men to do that. To break me out of a spirit of timidity. I wasn't always this obnoxious. But it has nothing to do with any of that. It's a confidence that they helped instill in me. And now it's a confidence that I have in God. And that's what God's looking for. Not that you got knocked down. Not that you got punched. Good night. If I go into watch a boxer box and he never gets touched, why did we even have the fight? I mean, there for a while, Mike Tyson, it was like, why? Why are we putting people up against him? He's just pop, pop. Our children need to know it's okay that if they fail. Not that we quit loving them. If your love's based on how they're performing, you're a moron. God's love for you doesn't change any time. Oh, but I just don't feel close to him. That's because you've allowed something to come between you and him. And guilt is not from God. God wants you to be free from whatever it is that keeps tripping you up. But he's not the one standing there with the baseball bat hitting you with it. Oops, I bring it to the next. And we know that all things work together for the good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. A scripture that is commonly misquoted. God's going to work to my good. That's not what you're doing, is not in his will. Phil and I were talking about this the other day. People start claiming married husbands as their husband. And unfortunately, I remember that. We were in the same church at that time. Say, what? Our pastor at that time, he said, I will not pray for your unspoken prayer requests. Well, why not? He said, I started to pray for one and then I found out. The woman was praying my wife would die. Witchcraft, folks. If God is opposing something, why are we promoting it? You can't blab it and grab it, name it and claim it. Because if that's the case, Lord, I'd love a Ferrari F40. Car capable of 200 miles an hour. Probably worth $1 million now. Has no air conditioning, no radio. Has windows that slide, do not go up and down. Sits about this far off the ground. Yeah, that's going to do good up my driveway. Not that God doesn't want me to have a nice, sweet car. It's because of I'll put that car before him. A while back, I thought about getting rid of my truck. I said, Lord, I'm going to get rid of my truck and settle out some debts. I could do that with that payment. It would help. 2 days ago, God said, I gave you that truck. You did give me a vision. I saw it sitting in my spot. Yeah, brother, I don't agree with all that. It's not your life and you don't pay my bill, so butt out. Just like everybody else should butt out of your life. Whatever's going on, do they pay your bills? No. So what's their opinion matter? It's a sin. The Bible doesn't teach that. Religion taught that. Well, brother, don't you know that the borrower is slave to the lender? Well, as long as you bought right, I can sell my truck. I don't beat it up. But when God tells me he gave me something, yeah. So I've kind of put that to bed. But folks, God's up there rooting for you. And when you get back up, he's cheering. He's glorified. And when you win, oh, come on. When you win, man, God's like, yes, yes, take that devil. That's my child. That brings God glory. Tim, if you would go get all the teachers and classes and bring them in, just tell them to just come. That's the kind of stuff that brings God glory. It's not whether we succeeded. He's going to look at Trish and he's going to say, did you do what I said? I did my best, Lord. And if he agrees, he's going to say, well done. Well done. Good and faithful servant. You held on when others let go. You trusted me when everybody else said you were nuts. You believed me. God's not up here saying, well, you know, if... If Harold would do this and do this, I think I can change his grade maybe to a 92, but right now he's at an 85. And I'm only going to love him if he gets A's. I knew people that they had that hard time with that. People being judging them because they didn't get A's. I shared the other day with some people, I can't remember who I've shared with. I said, somebody told me I was stupid once. I believed them. My senior year, I graduated with a 1.74 GPA. Rock on. But God revealed something to me. We didn't have this particular program back then. I was on the merit roll. I wasn't stupid. I made a plan and I stuck to it. Smart? Probably not if I wanted to get into any kind of school. But the Marine Corps didn't care, so. But the point of that is, folks, don't let people dictate what your father thinks of you. Okay? So, many of you have, you know, Justin showed up with a girl last week. No, where there's no wedding. Yet. And he moves out. He's leaving the nest. This one too. Gotta breathe. So we're gonna bless him. We're going to ask God to go with him and lead him. Because I understand. He was sharing some things, and I'm like, yep, I get it. He needs to go out and fly on his own. Some of us need to do that. And it proves to ourselves that we can do it. So today was his last day. So we're going to bless him as he goes forth. So if you would like to come up and pray with us, I invite you. Because he was birthed here. He was raised here. You've all seen him. Out of the three boys, he's the one that you've all pretty much got to watch grow up. The others were in various stages. But you can pray for him. We're gonna love him. If you see him driving down the road, wave. Father, we thank you. Lord God, we thank you for Justin. For the man of God that he is. And the man of God he's going to grow into being. Lord, we ask that as he steps out, Lord, as this eaglet spreads his wings, Father, may he soar high. May he stay close to your son. May he follow the winds of the Spirit.
Yes, Jesus.
Lord, we trust and know that as he goes as a family, we're going to miss him. But Lord, someday he may return. We don't know. But I do understand, Lord, that he has to go. He needs to go. So Father, we bless him now as he goes forth. Make his path straight. Bring your word back to him. Father, and I thank you and praise you. For all that we've been, all of us, have been able to instill into him in these last 20 plus years. In Jesus' name, amen.
You too.
Amen. He'll be around if you want to hug him and stuff. No. Yeah, if you were not aware, if you didn't pick up what I just said, he is leaving us. Not out of spite or anything, but to grow. And as he shared his heart, I walked in. I just got home and he said, I need to talk to you. And I went in, I said, Lord, this sucks. I came in and he told us, I said, I'm not going to sit in my regular chair. I'm going to sit over on the corner of the couch because that's where I was the last time this happened. And I don't want that chair ruined. But nonetheless, you'll still see him around. And he's not leaving the family of God. He's just changing which organ he's going to be working through. Amen. Love you, buddy. And by the way, this message was not set up around that. So, but anyhow, well, let's stand. Oh, let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord God, we thank you for your peace. Lord God, we thank you for your wisdom. Lord, as we all walk in your path, lead us and guide us, Father. Father, those who right now who are dealing with things, Father, whether it be they're battling bitterness, contempt, Lord, whatever it is, I pray that you help them. Father, remind them that you are not there banking on their failure, but you're banking on their prosperity. Lord, I thank you that you're moving in each and every one of our lives. Father, you're drawing us closer. Father, you're moving in each and every person in here today. Father God, I bless them as well, and I thank you that they blessed my son. Holy Spirit, go with these people today. Be mighty in their lives. In Jesus' name, amen.